Hello everyone, it's time for Midweek Tech, the show that you go to for your weekly tech needs.
Anywhere else, that means you're a bold person.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're going to get right into the stories, but I want to introduce the co-host of the show, Tyke Wagstaff. How are you doing, Tyke?
Hello, I'm all right, thank you.
That's good. Right, so today's topic, main topic really, is game consoles. We're going to be talking about the different types of game consoles that are out there now, and then we're going to be talking about the future of games consoles. There are actually loads of game consoles out there. You have the PS3 at the moment. You've got the Xbox 360, the Nintendo Wii. Am I missing any?
You have all the handhelds. You have the 3DS, DSi, the PS Sony Vita, or just the original little
thingies. And PCs as well. They're fantastic games consoles.
Oh, of course, but I'm not sure if they count as a console technically.
They can be used to play games in like high-end games,
game-playing devices. In which case, we may as well include phones.
And most games consoles can do a lot more than play games these days. Anyway,
they can video. They can do music. They can do software. They can do little gadgets.
Yeah, they can do loads of things. So we're going to go right in now. We're going to talk about. We're going to start off with the PS there, or the not the PS3, but the we're going to talk about the PC, and me and you both we do a lot of PC gaming, I suppose you'd call it. And what's the experience like on the PC in terms of gaming, Tyke?
Well, I think the PC is a lot more flexible because of the keyboard. Got more buttons, you can do more things.
Right. Yeah.
I really prefer WASD to any other controls. Actually, if you look here, if you'll excuse me for a second.
Sure.
I use this. I use a Xbox 360 for PC remote to play more complex games like Assassin's Creed that would take a lot of learning and a lot of habit to get used to do all the commands for
PC,
on the keyboard. Because, of course, there are just so many things you can do in some of these games. That although it means that you have to use every single button on the Xbox remote, it's better than having to learn what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 buttons, 16 different buttons, and be able to, you know, press them all together in a masquerade of action on the PC. So,
yeah, and as you said there, you can very easily go ahead and buy yourself an Xbox controller so you have the Xbox experience for the PC. With PCs, you can customize it so you can have whatever graphics card preference you like, if you like ATI, if you like NVIDIA, you know. And I really like the PC experience. I'm a keyboard guy. I don't have an Xbox controller. I started off gaming on the PC. I only got an Xbox a few years back. I was introduced to the, because my dad, surprisingly enough, he's actually he's into PC gaming, right? So that's my background, and I've always found gaming on PCs a lot easier. So we're going to move on, and we're going to talk a bit about the PS3. That's a different kind of gaming experience, I suppose, to the PC. You've got
The Xbox, really. I mean, there are two very different consoles, I've always found.
Yeah, and they've got different features. The biggest difference between gaming on your PC compared to gaming on, we'll call it a dedicated console, but really they can do a lot more, and we'll talk a bit about that. The biggest difference is you can, well, it's debatable. You've got controllers that you control it with. It runs off a dedicated operating system that really is designed for mostly playing games. And of course, you obviously see it most likely in the TV room. Although you can get computers now with HDMI ports. I know my desktop has a HDMI port. My Mac Mini has a HDMI port for plugging into your HD TV. So, but you'd you know, in a family house or whatever, you'll see the games console in the TV room plugged into your big HDTV. That's probably the biggest difference. Tig, I know you've had a lot of experience with the Xbox, but in games consoles, dedicated games consoles, we'll call them, in general, is the experience a lot different to PC gaming?
Well, the first games I ever really played, or the first games I ever saw anyone play, were in fact PC games. I've seen my dad playing DEF CON, for example. It's always a favourite of mine, which I've now gone back to playing. But I got my first laptop when I was about 6, and it was a broken laptop offline. And I was made to fix it if I wanted to use it, which was either cruel or awesome, I can't tell. But I only ever really ended up gaming on my mother's PS2, who she basically gave to me. And that was what I first started playing. My first memories were of playing Ratchet and Clank and Gran Turismo 3.
Best games ever.
Definitely. The second Ratchet and Clank and Gran Turismo 3 are the single most nostalgic things for me.
Yeah.
Along with Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy X, if anybody else wants to check them out. I'd highly recommend, if you've got
retro
the disc.
Retro games.
Yeah, if you've got, we're just so becoming hipster on this show. We're soon going to be using a new thing called Logitech Vid, and then it's going to explode and become popular because we're using it and we're going to be like, we like Logitech Vid before it was cool, and I'm going to be like, shut up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I highly recommend, if you have the disc, emulating Final Fantasy X. There are some good emulators out there if you work hard enough on it, and it gives you... You can replay it again and again and again. My favorite console compared to PC, to get back on track, console, it's a lot more easy just to sit down and play for a bit and then get back up again.
Yeah.
It's a lot more easy to play with multiple people. You can just sit down. If you've got an Xbox, for example, you can just go, who's online? Right, you, and you, come in a party with me. We're all going to play FIFA. Or you can be like, oh, my DVD's finished burning. Or you can be all like, you know, you can, if you've got a PS2, you can be, hey, come sit here with me. And then you can go and play with someone. Screen blow screen. I always like that. But the PC, it's a bit more difficult. Now, what PC has going for it, aside from the fact that it's not very good for multiplayer, it's a lot more complicated, and you can't get, you can't just go in real quick and play a little and get back out again.
Yeah, also,
experienced.
Games installations are a pain in the ass sometimes. I mean, if you're an experienced person who knows how to install games, you know, it's easy, right? But if you're someone who isn't very tech savvy and just uses the computer for web browsing and decides to all of a sudden become a hardcore gamer, the whole thing, that's never going to happen, but the whole thing of installing your game is the games onto the computer can be a challenge.
Are not endorsing people who are not very tech savvy at all to all of a sudden start and going trying to do complicated things.
Yeah, it's
don't
not a
do
good
it without
idea.
Some experience. Learn first.
And you have to have someone really who knows what they're doing. Because you can...
System 86, what's this?
That's not a good place to go into.
This is taking up a lot of extra space. Let's delete it.
Right. And with the PS3 anyway, we'll get back on track. The PS3 has a built-in Blu-ray player, so if you can buy your Blu-ray high-definition DVDs, and because you can plug in through HDMI into a TV, you can watch your Blu-ray DVD, so it acts as kind of a DVD player. Well, I shouldn't be calling it Blu-ray DVDs, I should be just calling it Blu-ray. And so the PS3, it's a games console, it's got a controller. In my opinion, not the most comfortable controller you can get out there, but it's a controller, and it's wireless. That was being introduced. But it's got a whole other host of features to it. Netflix, which has just come out, we talked about in the last week's show. You've also got, there's lots of videos. There's a video marketplace out there, music marketplace. There's a massive host of things. And of course, as I said there, Blu-ray. It's a Blu-ray player. So these consoles, I think it was more of a demand for these consoles to do more than just gaming, because the appeal to me with PC gaming was I had a computer already, and I could take the computer that I had and I could just play games on it. It was fantastic, and I could do loads of things other than games, right? Really, the reason why I went and bought an Xbox was because I could do all these things. I could rent my videos, I could rent my movies. I didn't just have to play games on it all the time. I'm not a very heavy gamer, by the way. I do enjoy casual gaming, but I'm not a very heavy gamer. So for me, that's why I held off, and I was just a PC gamer for a very long time. With the PS3 now, you've got a massive range of things you can do other than just playing games, and I really like that. So, any opinions on the PS3, Tyke?
Now, I'm being entirely honest, and anybody on the PS3?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Entirely honest, that's not
mute
good.
Mute me. And I do like the PS3. It's a great console. Yeah, I've played on it with friends. And anybody who owns a PS3, their opinion is entirely out there. But to me, buying a PS3 for hardcore gaming is a bit like renting a hotel room so you can sit down and get back up again and leave.
Yeah.
The PS3s are very, very good, don't get me wrong, for the younger side of the population and more, perhaps, people who are more interested in being sociable and doing kind of, if you like, extracurricular things to their console. Like, renting films was something I use, browsing, etc. If you want to do all that and you want lots of extra features, go ahead and get a PS3. The PS3 will definitely beat the Xbox at the moment in those categories. For instance, the Xbox, I think it's trying to get some form of browsing, but only recently. And Netflix has only just come to the Xbox, and it's still apparently not very good. I've used Netflix for the Xbox, and it's great, don't get me wrong. It's just not as good as on the PS3. But having said that, if I were to be told, right, you now have to go and get really good at one game of your choice and become a professional gamer, or right, you're now no longer allowed to use your PC, choose something else to game on, Xbox all the way. Xbox all the bloody way. I played on that Xbox for I had a PC capable of playing proper games other than Rome Total War, which I still played most of the time. Xbox all the way. I loved it. I would spend countless hours with my friends on any random game I bought. They were all multiplayer, and I could go in parties, which many people say, oh, we have to pay for the internet on the Xbox, shock horror. I think it's a lot better. I think the way it's organized, the user interface, how it works just, in general, a lot better than the PS3 or any other kind of social software. So people who sit down and game, and it has more comfortable remotes and better games as well, I should probably mention, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. The Xbox has a very, very comfortable remote. That sounds kind of strange, but it counts when you're playing games for hours.
Because if you let your hand go limp, it goes like that, right? You see that? And then if you see the design of the Xbox remote I have here, I can just hold it limply, and then I move my finger up like that, and sure, I'm already in the exact playing position.
It's a very natural position,
Yeah, it's also, you don't get RSI from an Xbox remote, believe it or not. They're designed not, like my keyboard here. Oh, Jesus. Like my keyboard here. It is designed not to give you RSI, regardless of how much you use it. Now,
very nice.
Yeah, I just think, really, if you're going to go out and get very good at a game or something, choose the Xbox. The Xbox is just, regardless, the best console for proper sit-down gaming. Some of my happiest memories were sitting down with a bunch of friends I had, you know, on Red Dead Redemption, just running around and shooting things and having a good time. And it was just so much nicer than the few times I've used the multiplayer on the PS3. I didn't enjoy it as much because it wasn't as nice to use, and it was a bit more complicated, and it wasn't as comfortable, and I just didn't find myself relaxing fully and having just as good a time. So, you know, if you're going to play lots, get an Xbox. But if you're interested in more extracurricular activities and cheaper things, go and get a PS3.
Right. Now, the reason why I chose the Xbox over the PS3, because both were very liable contenders at the time. I didn't know anything about games consoles. I was just in the market for one, and I just did a bit of research. I looked, and I saw what features each had. And the reason why I went with the Xbox 360 was a cheaper console to buy. But afterwards...
That too.
Yeah, but afterwards, what I found out was you had to buy an Xbox an Xbox Live Gold subscription, which is €50 a year. It's not that much, people say, but to pay to go onto the internet and use those online services, in my opinion, come on. I mean... Sony gave it to you for free with the PlayStation Network. I think it should have been given to you for free.
I don't know. To be honest, I do kind of agree with you, but I think I would, even on that basis, choose the Xbox because, as I said before, the internet is nicer to use. It doesn't feel as snickety or as delicate. The internet's very... comfortable to use all of it. I definitely think it was very, very, very much worth the €50 to get a year's worth of internet. And while I had trouble coming up with it, I paid it again and again and again, even though I could only ever ravel together about €100 in an entire year ever. Right. I still went and I still got it every year because I enjoyed it so much.
Okay. And then there's the underdog, the Nintendo Wii. It's kind of, it's a console.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was a console that was very popular when it came out like 5 years ago. And, it's quite an old console at the moment. It kind of brought in this new kind of way of playing games. You know, in my opinion, it's a very revolutionary console, but it doesn't get a lot of credit. And especially from gamers who are into first-person shooters, massively worldwide multiplayer, blah, 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 I don't know any of them, MMOs or RPGs. Or
yeah, I actually, believe it or not, I had bought the Xbox as my first games console other than the PS2. And I absolutely adored it. It's very family orientated, and for younger children, if you're looking to get a games console for a young child, I would not between all the free consoles, the three main consoles, Xbox, PS3, and Wii. And no offense intended to any of them as of their usability to children.
Yeah.
But I would definitely choose the Wii for a young child. It's very proactive, it's very fun, it's very usable, and it's very family and friend orientated.
Right, so with the Wii, that was the first console I ever got. And it was a great experience. It was very fun, and it, as I said, it was revolutionary. It had this remote. You were using most of your body to control what you were seeing on the screen, and it was very energetic, and it was a great way of, it was a great idea, but it doesn't get that much credit, being honest. Like, I mean, for a console that did so much to change, you know, Kinect and that, what was it, the PlayStation, I can't remember, they have
PS Move,
right, yeah, and it started with the Wii. And it's 5 years old now, but it's still a great console. in my opinion. It's not HD, but the games are a lot more affordable than what you would get for Xbox, PS3, or whatever, PC. They're a lot more affordable. They're about €20 rather than €40, right? So they're half the price, which makes a big difference. As you said, Tyke, they are. It's a very family oriented console. It's the best for young children, definitely. And they won't care that it's not HD. They won't care, you know, that you can't play Call of Duty on it, right? I mean, the graphics processor inside it. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I think also, now I don't want to preach to anybody. It's entirely your choice, but I think it's best if you don't try and wean children onto Call of Duty, because a lot of people get very, if you know what I mean, jerky when they've been kind of taught that that's the way you act. Because the Call of Duty community is either very professional or filled with a lot of people who can quite often in the game be very violent, has been my experience. So I'd be careful exposing little children to Call of Duty and other first-person shooters. Be careful which ones. Halo and certain others, yes, but really gory ones like Battlefield 3 and the Call of Duties, I would wait until they're double digits.
My opinion with any kind of games that are, look, they're rated, that they've put that age rating on there for a reason, right? If it's an 18s game, it's an 18s game. That just tells you, right? And you shouldn't, no, there's no way you should be showing a 2-year-old child Call of Duty. That's just wrong, right?
So they're technically just guidelines, but I do agree with you. Although it's not actually contrary to what most people believe it's in fact the law that you have to obey this.
It is, though, isn't it?
It's only that a person of this age has to be the one buying it.
Yes.
But any person of any age can be playing it or use it. But
it's up to the parents.
With 18
anyway.
Games, you don't be one of those people who people hate who just restrict their children from playing 18 games, but do restrict them while they're still what you would call a child. When you feel they're mature enough, when they're 10 or 12 or whatever age you feel your child is mature enough not to take things that aren't funny, like gory death and things, whenever you think that they're mature enough to, you know, handle this, then it's fine. They don't actually have to be 18 if they're mature enough to handle it on their own without causing any trouble. But, don't be one of those people who just despises 18s games, regardless of the age.
You know what? I think that, you know, being a parent, you're going to know when your child is able to take this kind of stuff, and you know when they're going to enjoy it, and they're not going to follow up with this kind of action. And, you know, if your child, if you're a parent, you would know when your child has reached that age, where they're ready for that kind of games. But the Nintendo Wii is a great games console because you don't. Yes, there is Call of Duty, but it's Call of Duty 4. The graphics is, in my opinion, not great. It's not the best, right? It's a different type of gaming when you're coming to the Wii. You're playing Mario games. They're not very graphics intensive. And that's really what the Wii was designed for. And it's a great console for that. If I was to play Mario, I would not like to play Mario on the Xbox. In my opinion, I think the Wii is just a console that suits that kind of gaming the best. And the Wii, it's out for 5 years. We'll be talking about the new Wii, the Wii U, that they've been showing at different games kind of conferences. And we'll be talking a bit about that later on. But, you know, it's been around for 5 years. It's an old console, but it's still a great console, in my opinion, you know. So we might as well move on, and we're going to talk a bit about... So we've talked about the PC. We've talked about the type of gamers that will be attracted to the PC. There'd be mostly kind of hardcore gamers who want to customize their experience, if they want to choose their own kind of gaming mouse with like weights and things like that. And also they'd be actually more kind of like the professionals, the people who actually make money off gaming would be using, Mike's laughing, making money off gaming. Yeah. It's
well, no, actually that's people not make true. Money. I know many people who make substantial amounts of money off gaming. I know a guy who makes $4,500 a month off gaming.
Wow. I mean,
That's just a normal guy. That's not even someone too high up.
Yeah. Well, obviously, gaming wouldn't be my career path. I'm not going to be like aspiring to be a gamer. But, you know, there are professionals and they use PCs because heavily customizable. You can have a serious gaming rig and you can spend a lot of money. And you can really customize it. You can plug in massive, really high definition displays. You can even go 3D if you want to take it a step further. Right. And then you've got the PS3, which is kind of, I would say it's one of the most popular games consoles out there. And that kind of game, playing games, is more casual. It's more casual gaming. It's not as serious. It's got a lot of features kind of outside of gaming as well, like a lot of TV, music, different things like that. Then you've got the Xbox 360, which is kind of it's very similar to the PS3 in a lot of ways, but then it's different. It's more of a dedicated gaming console. It's more kind of aimed towards that. It does have a lot of the other features that apart from gaming, but I think it's more of a dedicated gaming console. And then you've got the Nintendo Wii, which is probably really fun. You know, you've got the controller, you're moving around, you're interacting very well with the games, and it's a very casual console. You play games like Mario Kart is one of my favorite. So we're going to go on and we're going to talk a bit about the future of games consoles. So we're going to talk a bit about the PlayStation 4 or PS4. Now we don't know if that's actually going to be the name of it. But we're going to look at what do you think will be the future of games consoles, in particular the PS, the PlayStation games consoles. What's going to be the next step for Sony in making an upgrade from the PS3 to the PS4?
Well, I think in terms of a next step and not really the overall future, I think they're going to be turning more and more into giving everybody what they want and being flashy and being designer of their interface and using lots of blacks and silvers and being very near and having, you know, high school graphics and having all the really good games, all the good FPSs as well, and you know, trying to expand on their horizons and show everybody that they're the boss and they do the best consoles. Because in my experience, that's what Sony is like, no offense. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing. Yeah. It gives them drive to move on. But personally, to be honest, I think development of all their consoles has kind of been swerving on a snaky path since the PS2, which is possibly one of the best consoles ever. Even now, with all the new consoles coming out, I still think games consoles-wise, if you actually want to have a really good time, buy a PS2 and get a load of old games really cheaply. Oh my god, the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The PS2 was a great console. And I always wanted one.
Rest in peace.
And it really was. Back then, that really was a dedicated games console. You could do nothing else. It was games. You know. Yeah, and as regards the PS4, we're looking at a lot of upgraded things to this new console. We're looking at the same type of So the PS3 at the moment, it uses a what they call a cell-based processor. It's 3.2 gigahertz dual thread, which is interesting, and it's capable of processing two streams of instructions at a time. So it's actually quite a powerful device under there. You wouldn't actually think that it's, you know, being a console, but it's actually quite a powerful kind of a device. And so, you know, the they're saying that it could increase the clock speed to a 3.8 gigahertz processor in the PS4. 3D capability, they don't really know. And they don't know, they don't really know. It's still like rumors, you know. This is complete speculation, and we're just thinking, will there be 3D on the PS4? What do you think, anyway, Thike? Do you think there'll be 3D? Do you think we've made it that far? That 3D...
If there is, they're wasting their time. That's my opinion. 3D gaming, it's like 3D TV. The first generation of everything tends to be utterly awful. I mean, I could not imagine sitting down to try and do 3D gaming. Just watching 3D films gives me a headache and makes me squirm at how awful the animation is and how everything breaks in 3D. Not a big fan of 3D at all. Like actual depth 3D of glasses and all. If they do, it's going to drastically reduce frame rate, reduce the amount of games you can actually use 3D and HD on. If they do, it's just going to really it's all gonna all that the 3D won't make any money. That's the problem.
Yeah,
if they charge €100 for every 3D game, which there's a huge possibility they will, because 3D is so complex, they're gonna get like 1,000 people buying it instead of, you know, the 20,000 that would otherwise. Because they can't afford the extra charge for the 3D, and most of them probably won't want it if they're hardcore gamers. Like, I wouldn't want it. I mean, it's there's a difference between having, you know, 3D beta optional. So if you happen to be one of the 1 in a million people with a 3D TV and 3D glasses, oh, cool, look at this. Never appreciate it. But the next thing on is forcing people into it. Like, this is the new HD, you will convert or die. You know, this is the shizzle, give us your money. I don't like the idea of 3D rising until it's ready. I think it's still first or second generation, it's just not ready.
Yeah, okay, yeah, 3D is definitely not ready. And, you know, with the 3DS, it was a different market. It's a lot more casual gamers. With the PS4, when it comes out, it will be targeted towards a more serious gaming audience, I suppose. They're more serious about their games. They want to play games that will be a lot, that be suited for an older audience. You know, the 3DS, the DSi, and before the 3DS was a console that you could bring in the Move. It was for parents because for long car journeys, you know, it's very hard on children. So with the DSi, it was great, and the DS, the original DS, was a great source of entertainment for children. And so the 3DS, it kind of came out, and it was more towards a more kind of casual audience. So the 3D, it wasn't as much of a risk. And you know, the 3DS has done pretty well, I suppose. It's done reasonable. And but this, the thing with the 3DS is, you don't have to turn on the 3D, you know. I can't see the 3D, interestingly enough. I just cannot see that no glasses 3D. It just comes up as double vision.
Yeah.
No matter actually, no matter where I actually place it, I just cannot see it. I can adjust it as much as I want. I just can't see the 3D. Sorry, go ahead, Doug.
There are many issues with that, sorry to interrupt you, but first one is they actually have depth control.
Yeah.
So you either turn it on 2D or 3D, so that might have been the problem, but
anybody
who is about to buy a 3DS, don't be under the illusion that it means that things are going to be popping out at you from the screen. What 3D actually means in the 3DS is that it's popping inwards towards the screen like that. Nothing's going to come out at you. Everything is going to either be, you know, where you'd expect the screen to be if you were on just 2D gaming. then further back. What looks like it's further back. It's not going to be explosions coming out at you.
Yeah, no.
So don't be sad. Don't mistake yourself.
Yeah. And for me, I just see double vision. I can't see it at all. It's looks fuzzy and there's like, it looks like there's two of them. I just can't see the 3D. That happens for a lot of children, very young children as well, under the age of 6 as well. It's not recommended to use the 3D. So there are issues with 3D at the moment, especially with the non-glasses versions of it. You have to be in a specific place and so on. So PS4, I don't think that we'll be seeing. Depending on when it comes out as well. I mean, it could be 3 to 4 years until this thing comes out. It's probably going to be 2012, 2013, they're saying. As regards PSU, now, you would think that the PSU, or not the PSU, sorry, the GPU. I'm getting confused in my terminology here. The GPU, or graphics processor. At the moment, is actually one developed by NVIDIA, which is interesting. So similar to what you get in a PC, except with a PC you can customize it, really. And it's clocked at 550 megahertz, which isn't a whole load when you're talking about the PC market. I mean, I have a 1 gigahertz processor in one of my graphics cards upstairs somewhere. And that's considered powerful, you know. But it really, an 800 megahertz or up is considered a good graphics processor in a graphics card. So at the moment, they're only using a 550 megahertz processor. But the thing about a games console is you can really optimize it for the games. And you can really use all of that 550 megahertz. So they're saying that they will be upgraded... they'll be upgrading it to a 700 megahertz processor in the PS4. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of things we'll be seeing out of the PS4. Upgraded graphics, hopefully. Maybe some upgraded software so you can actually do even more on a games console. But I think what they're actually going to start doing is simplify it. They're going to simplify it down so that you don't have all this complication, so the game is the main focus. But we're going to go on and we're going to talk a bit about the future of the Xbox. Like, this is something that you're kind of excited about.
Well,
have you been following much?
I did actually when the new Xbox was kind of announced. They're going to call it the Xbox 720, apparently, which leads me to wonder if there's going to be an Xbox...
That's it. That's a funny
1440, and if there's going to be an Xbox 2880, and if there's going to be an Xbox 5660, and so on. Apparently, and originally, actually, it was going to be a Sphere, surprisingly enough. I don't think that's going to happen. Well, that's a stupid idea for a console. I mean, come on. How smart do you have to be to realize that making something that rolls around on the floor is not a stable platform to put a reading laser in?
Yeah. Anyway.
And et cetera. But, yes, with any luck. Now, what I'm most excited about is the thing I've always been most excited about in the Xbox and I've always enjoyed the most. It's the graphical user interface. And it's how amazingly lovely and squishy and cute and fuzzy it is to use. And how it just gives you that lovely squelchy feeling inside where you just want to sit there and be absorbed into it. And I'm almost quite nervous because I really hope they aren't just going to ruin it forever.
Just
ruin it on us.
I mean, the Xbox is so good. You're like, don't make improvements. It's really good at the moment.
Yeah. Don't make improvements, just make better games.
Just upgrade the graphics a tiny little bit.
Well, no, see, this is the problem, right? So the Xbox at the moment has something ridiculous like 50 megabytes of graphics RAM. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's quite small.
That is heroically small. 50 megabytes compared to, what does the PS3 have, like 1 gig or something?
Yeah.
As well as a huge processor. It's heroic. And it uses, what it does is it uses this amazing graphics engine, so it needs basically no video RAM at all to run very high quality games. Exactly. Don't know how it's worked, and that's how Xbox emulators have come out yet. And no Xbox emulators seem to want to ever come out, surprisingly enough.
Well, I think with the Xbox, with dedicated games consoles like this, you don't need to have so much power. I mean, that is very little amount, but you can really kind of optimize it so that the games, you know, the games can be optimized for that kind of graphic stuff. So, and it's dedicated. It's for that kind of thing. So you can really optimize it. I mean, with a computer, you have to make sure that the game is compatible with so many graphics cards. I mean, there's loads, so many processors. And with the Xbox, it's just one. So you can really, really optimize it. But still, it is very little amount of RAM, or very little amount of memory. So, continue, Tyke, sorry.
I don't know. Fine, it was actually a very good point you just made there. I'm wondering if they're going to be able to, in the time they're allotted, optimize it anymore, if they're just going to have to go along the more power path and just give it. Because, I mean, if they could use the current optimizations and put, like, a standard, what most things would use, as in a 1 gig, if you like.
Yeah.
There we go. If we could use, like, a standard 1 gig graphics card, that would give, if I'm correct, if I can use this calculator, assuming they have, I think it's something like 58 megabytes of RAM, that'd give us, like, roughly 21 times the amount of power just using a normal graphics card in it. Wow. So it's optimized 20 times already. It's 20 times more powerful than it's supposed to be. So were we to put a normal graphics card in there, it would be 20 times more powerful. Now, if that can already, it can already stand a resolution of 1080p, which is, I forget, it's something by 1080. 1080 is 720
by 1080. It's 720 by 1080. So full 1080p.
If they can do that now, they can do, all right, let's see, I shouldn't have closed the calculator. if they can do 720 vertically at the moment, if you multiply that by 21, they can have a vertical resolution of 1500x120.
Wow.
Assuming that any monitor or cable will ever support that without huge amounts of refraction. So, just imagining if they could do that, that'd be like, we could create practically lifelike graphics, because the human eye is extraordinarily detailed compared to what we've made at the moment, because that's only little squares. But having said that, that is a ridiculous amount of little squares for any screen at all. Yeah. I mean, see this screen, this is a pretty high-res screen. It's got a vertical resolution of 720, and it was very expensive, and I could tell you now that if I'm playing Battlefield 3 or something, it's very close to real life. Now, if I could imagine that 20 times more detailed, it would be mind-blowing. I mean, absolutely mind-blowing. So
yeah, and that's where 4K comes in. 4K is like twice the amount of pixels, twice the amount of quality that you get out of full HD. And NAB was actually on this week, which we should have talked a bit about. It's the National Association of Broadcasters show. And it's, you know, what we're doing right now with podcasts and with broadcasting, the microphones, the software that we use to capture all this video that's going on. That is actually, and that's what kind of stuff that you would see at NAB. It's like a you know, with TV studios, it's kind of that kind of stuff. But with you know, they've been showing a lot of 4K cameras, and a lot of 4K stuff, you know, TVs, and it's 4K is just super high quality. It's they're even looking at 8K. Now the problem 8K is like even better again, right? The problem with 8K is that they don't have anything to actually see 8K right now. There's nothing good enough to see 8K. So there's no point in capturing an 8K if you can't see it.
The problem right now is if you sorry to interrupt you.
No problem,
if you take an analog cable like VGA.
Right.
And you try and shove even just 1080 down it.
Oh yeah,
you were going to get a ridiculous amount of ghost lines and refraction, because what happens is when you're firing a signal down a cable, it slowly goes from going on a straight path to alterating and bumping.
Yeah.
It kind of. Yeah. It's in a simplified version. Now, the longer that cable is, the worse it gets. And this is particularly bad with analog cables. Not so much so at all with digital cables. So even just a 1 meter cable, which is what I have here, just to connect my PC, which is down here, to my monitor that's up there. Until now, I'm using digital, and I needed a little digital analog, digital to analog converter for my new graphics card. Before that, I had a ridiculous, really annoying amount of ghost lines on my system, and it was absolutely outrageous. I really hated it, and I can only imagine now people who still use conventional analog, and oh my god. People who use D-sub still use D-sub on their TV. It's for any of you who don't know, it's the little round one that you stick in the back of your TV.
You know what?
From your box
you
or from
what?
The cable. Imagine trying to stick. What was that ridiculous sum? 1400 pixels, even just in vertical resolution, through a D-sub cable. It would just break.
Yeah.
It would explode. And dragons would sprout.
Do you know what?
It.
That's what
and then
I.
Those dragons would lay eggs and have little. And then those eggs would sprout and be made out of, like, evil D sub cables that are seeking revenge for what we have done to them.
Well,
that is how catastrophically awful it would be.
The thing is, I actually still use that on my TV. Interestingly enough. Yeah, I know. I'm still. Hi. Yeah, we haven't upgraded. And we live in the middle of nowhere. We can't get anything but that. So, anyway, back to the Xbox 360, which we were actually talking about a while back. we still use that. We have a full HD TV.
Oh.
We use that thing that you love, that round thing. So,
oh god.
We're actually going to go on. We're going to talk about the Wii U now. Now, they've come up with some very interesting concepts for the Wii U. They've been showing it at, what's that thing that they, E4 or some gaming, a lot of gaming conventions, which I don't follow.
I forget it. There was a big blockade on it because it was supporting SOPA because it would make them more money and all the game artists were all like, whoa!
Anyway.
Calm down here.
But, so, it's, the Wii U is, When's it scheduled to come out, actually? That's
I don't know. Check it out now.
Sometime later on this year, probably. Maybe even 2013. But they've been trying to make
right.
a...
It was E3.
E3.
And
E3.
It's called the
E4.
Wii U. And let's see. I've got some things about it here. Oh, Jesus Christ. That is strange, but it looks quite appealing, actually. That looks... It's got a strange remote.
Yeah, that's something that I want. They have the conventional remote, but they're trying to promote this remote that has a built-in kind of screen, and it's a touch screen as well, so you can interact with it. So you can actually kind of be playing mini games on your remote, and you can also use the screen on the remote to kind of help you. To interact better with what's on the big screen. So it's like the DS you have two screens. Yeah.
Here's something interesting I've just seen, and this is actually related to the little argument we just had there about you and your pathetic little D-sub and and resolution.
Oh, God.
And the Wii only actually supports 480p, so make sure you've got a monitor that can do good downsizing then.
Yeah.
Because if you've got, like, 360p... 360p TV you want to use it on, it's going to have to downsize it. So any of those out there, cough cough Michael, who still do use D-sub cables, the lights are going to have a pretty low quality TV, and at which case, you know, just check it can downsize properly without too much
distortion. Thankfully my TV does downsize.
Oh, well, you're lucky. Look who got away.
I have a Panasonic.
The boy who survived.
And I use a lot of low-quality stuff. The Wii,
wow, they
my
have
D-sub.
Trademarked. They have trademarked the word nunchuck.
They
or
have.
Nunchuck.
Yeah, they have.
Is that possible?
I don't know, because nunchuck was used a lot longer before the Wii came out. But
yes, it
yeah,
was.
I don't know. They might have done some deals. But we're going to go on anyway, after the Wii U, discussing about the new controller, and which is an interesting controller. We're going to talk about the future of gaming PCs. I just want to clarify something. When we talk about gaming PCs, we don't talk about PCs that just play games. We're talking about PCs that can play games very well, okay? Because I say, I'm talking about gaming PCs sometimes, and they say, you know, you should make a gaming PC. They're really cheap to make. You know, a good one can cost like 700-800 euro, if a really good one, right? And they say, great, what games can I play? And then they go off and they're like, I don't really want to spend 700 or 800 euro on a computer that just plays games. Right? They start thinking.
People like you deserve to die.
They start thinking. It's very easy. If you don't know anything about technology, and we kind of presume that people just know. But it's very easy. When they call them gaming PCs, you just think that they just play games, right? But no, they don't. They do everything a normal PC can do.
In fact, they
plus
do
more.
Everything a normal PC can do, but because they're made to be so powerful they can game, they do everything a normal PC can do, but they do it better. So
yeah.
if, for instance, a gaming PC will do everything you would normally do quicker.
Way
as well.
Quicker. Way quicker. And they can do video editing and tons of really, really high...
And rendering and compiling code better.
It's serious stuff, like, you know, I have a quad-core gaming PC and it's just, like, monstrous machine. But it just eats through stuff, especially with the graphics card it's gotten. It's just like, rah!
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, it just, it's a serious machine. But, yeah, they're great for doing not just games, but, like, everything else really, really well. What do you think would be the future of gaming PCs? I mean, we're seeing a lot of incredible graphics cards. 4 gigabytes of memory, GDDR5 memory, which a lot of you are just saying, what the hell is he on about? But means it's really powerful. And it's like a big, chunky graphics card. I mean, you'd have to like take a hammer to your case to fit it in. It's big, right? And you need a full tower case, which is also one of these words. It means it's a big case. We're just calling it big. Everything has to be big.
Full tower means big as opposed to mini.
I mean, yeah. Everything that we're talking about is big when it comes to these things. You got water cooling, which makes everything just so much more efficient.
And so much bigger.
Right. Everything is just, it's just about making the stuff look big. But what do you think will be the future of, in a year's time, we'll say? Will we be playing on some space-age computers?
Well,
that
with the new Radeon, what is it, the 7950,
which is just incredible.
Which you would basically have to give your firstborn to buy.
You would have to.
Or your leg, or your arm, or your closest sibling. I mean, wow. if anybody has seen it, it's clocked at like 2 gigahertz, which is, you know, on a laptop, it's decent for a processor, you know. And that graphics cards should not have that much power. You can overclock it to like 3 gigahertz, which is nearly as much as my monstrous processor. That is enough to make people cry. That is enough. If you showed that to anybody who, you know, anybody who even understood what a gigahertz was, they would break down and start sobbing. That is enough to give people nightmares for months.
My dad no offense to my dad, but he thinks 512 megabytes is tons. He lives in an age where, like, 2005. Because that's when he got his gaming machine, and it's like 256 megabyte graphics card. Sorry, go ahead, then.
Bill Gates once said that nobody in the future would ever ridiculously even ever come close to the need of 512 kilobytes of RAM. He quoted that. He said, nobody in the future will ever need 512 kilobytes of RAM. It's impossible. And look how wrong he was. I have 4 gig, and that's a relatively low amount.
I have 8 gigs.
Who don't know, that's 8 times that.
Yeah, it's incredible. But I think that's down to the operating systems being ridiculously just piled on with all this interface stuff, which makes it look nice, but really it's over the top. But anyway, what it does is it makes it accessible to anybody, but that means you'll need a lot more things. But anyway, back to the 7950, is it? Yeah, that you were talking about. Have I got the model number right? Because I'm so bad at model numbers. It's all gibberdy. I don't know anything about these model numbers. 7950, is it? It's like
7950 what exactly?
The ATI graphics card.
The ATI what?
Graphics card.
I don't know what you're talking about either. 750 watts, HPI?
No, sorry. The ATI.
Oh, the ATI. Radeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the ATI. The new one is the ATI Radeon 7950.
Yeah,
is
right.
The new cutting edge one.
The thing about it is,
It boils everything it touches.
The thing about it is, you'd have to sell your house to buy it. And then in the house you're renting, you'd need an extension to fit it in there. And you'd have to be wearing shorts and nothing else going into the room.
Need central heating, here's a kind of a cheap difference to central heating. If you want underfloor heating, dig a hole to halfway to the center of the earth beneath your house and set up a small PC and make sure that the graphics card is held there by electromagnets so that the sides of your PC don't dissolve. And then turn it on and overclock it, because apparently you can overclock it to about 3.6 gigahertz.
That's incredible.
And just leave it there. And eventually your floor will start burning away, even if it's a mile deep into the earth.
But
be careful. This is you could play with radioactive waste and come out better than this.
Some of the things that are coming on. I mean, and processors, new Ivy Bridge processors, they just came out last week, I believe. So they're pretty impressive, I must say. I'm really going to be looking forward to getting my hands on an Ivy Bridge processor. But of course, with everything Intel, they're going to be expensive. But I think they're well worth the money, in my opinion, anyway. So we're going to be seeing NVIDIA is really trying to push 3D. They've had 3D since the very early days. I still have one of the first 3D glasses sets. Really bad for your eyesight. And it was made by NVIDIA, but
those of us who think that, of course, because they're 40, they have the right to rage at little kids on podcasts. Of course, the first ones were actually the cyan and red and blue and red and green eyeglasses, if anybody does remember. The original cardboard and film ones you had put on, and they were just awful.
They were, yeah. And they were not very good for your eyesight either, you know.
No, no, awful.
Yeah, but NVIDIA are trying to push it. ATI, not so much. They're just, you know, they're kind of giving service. They're giving service to the gamers who just like 3D is a bit of a, it's a bit of
bonus.
Yeah, I don't want 3D. I prefer to get 4K than 3D. You know, so I think it's going to actually split. You get the people who are going to be a bit more casual. They're going to be using 3D. They like that experience. And then you're going to get the real hardcore gamers, which will not be using 3D. And they'll be going with graphics cards that will be just out of this world powerful, but they will not be 3D compatible, which is going to be interesting. That's my opinion anyway. As regards processors, I think they're going to take it to the next level, especially because we have water cooling, which makes a big difference. It makes your machine run a lot more efficiently, and it also allows you to have a lot more powerful equipment without it going melting, basically. So water cooling is a big bonus, and that's going to definitely be able to get everything to kind of advance forward.
Well, soon they're going to have to start using hydrogen cooling for things like the 7950.
That would be an interesting
cooling system. Yes, actually. What do they use to cool hydrogen down to? I think it's minus 175 degrees Celsius, in which hydrogen becomes a liquid?
Yeah,
or something.
Liquid hydrogen. They do it with nitrogen as well. Liquid nitrogen, which is deadly. And it makes it like a fog. It's cool. It can preserve things.
Thinking of all the evil things he could do with liquid nitrogen.
Liquid hydrogen freezers. I mean, yeah, you could keep that loaf for a million years. You know, if you want to eat your loaf of bread in a million years, put it in a liquid nitrogen freezer.
If you're very rich and have near infinite supplies of liquid hydrogen.
Right. What I don't understand is, we're talking about games consoles, and now we're talking about liquid hydrogen. And liquid nitrogen. I mean, ugh.
Perhaps that means we've rambled a bit much, and we've spent an hour and a half talking kind of on track, and then gone to talking about things off in the other direction.
Yeah, but it was a good conversation.
So I'm very entertaining for the listeners, I should hope. If it's not, I'm very sorry.
And we might as well actually talk a bit about games on the while we're still in the episode. What do you want to discuss about games?
Okay, all the stereotypes for us in regard to... So there are, I suppose, two things we should talk about. Games in regard to what console has what games, and games into regards to what genres have what games. I think we should start with what consoles have what games, because it's kind of more direct before we ramble on some more and go into another crazy discussion about what happens when you freeze elements to ridiculously low temperatures and gases then become liquids.
That's for another day.
actually, just quickly, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I do wonder what temperature it would take to freeze nitrogen. Because I know when you freeze carbon, it then becomes dry ice. But okay.
I'll answer that. It's like set. Minus 100 and something. Yes, go.
I'm lost. Okay, right.
So games,
okay,
yes.
I can quite easily, and this is probably being horribly stereotypical, and I'm categorizing things too much. I know it's not always the case. But just to categorize things, just for the sake of simplicity, we have the Xbox with a wide variety of games, not many kid-friendly games, a few first-person shooters, but everything in between. Lots of good games, however it's more expensive, and, you know, you have to buy internet and etc. Then we have the PS3, which has all the fun games, it has all the light games, it has all the Call of Duty free, has a decent enough selection for children, the younger generation, also has supportive games that the older generation may like to play, like the Atari collections, which I have, and I am play the original Ping with my Xbox remote, trusty Xbox. And then we have the Wii, which is good for people of all ages, so long as they have company. It's not really a first-person console.
Right.
Not, I mean, single-person console. And
it's also... It's
good for children.
It's a casual console.
Yeah, it's very casual. I really enjoy it. You could stand up and play golf and really have a laugh with your friends and family and generally just enjoy the console and then watch vids. It's a very good console. If you're not into hard gaming and you just want something to have real fun with indoors, I think the Wii is just where you're going to go if you have any sense in you at all, ever. But yeah, those are my categorizations. Have you anything to say on it?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, yeah, that's a great way of categorizing them. And, that's well said. I can't add to that. Yeah, well done, Punk.
Right. As of genre, then, anything to say on genres? I find genres a little bit more difficult to categorize because of all the indie games now getting out there.
Right. Well, yeah, you talk a bit about the genres. And I'll add if I can.
All right. Well, there are countless genres. Let's see. It goes all the way from the
action, adventure,
ACAD, go down the Bible. It goes all the way down to Zed or X xylophone games.
There are lots of games.
Xenophobic games? Zoo games. That's what I was looking for. Zoo games for zoophiles or whatever they're called. The people who kind of register zoos and vets and people like that. Yes, I got the word. I got it done. Okay, right.
So,
yes. Each different genre has many different games, and each different genre is exceptionally different and very... Each different genre is suitable for different moods and different occasions and have a much different effect on society and the people who play them. Because let's face it, everything you do has some effect on you, no matter how minor it is. And every game you play, I'm not saying it turns you into a completely different person, your preferences generally kind of can have a very small definition on who you are. For instance... If you absolutely hate music, you're not going to love Guitar Hero. And
yes,
et cetera. You can kind of tell what a person's preference is by the game they play. But
that said about Guitar Hero, you know, people who play Guitar Hero like music, I don't like Guitar Hero, and that's because I actually play guitar. And playing guitar, so if you know if they're a musician, if they don't play it, right? Because
I tried to learn guitar and piano, and I still love piano, but Guitar Hero is very different to real guitar.
It is.
I know, like, of course it's a lot more detailed, but I meant, like, even in general finger movements, you'd think, you know, chords, strokes, you'd think it would be fairly similar. Different category altogether.
Completely.
It's entirely different. Yeah. You can be a really good guitarist, like
crap at Guitar Hero.
Pablo,
like me.
You know Pablo.
Yeah.
Pablo, amazing Mexican who's brilliant at guitar. We should start.
Anyway. Okay.
Well, anyway, not to give out more information about where I live. he is
like in the first
exceptionally,
episode.
Like in all the episodes, he is an exceptionally good guitarist and he says he finds Guitar Hero really difficult. And actually, what's his face? Billy Joe Armstrong, lead publicity gatherer of, if he doesn't mind me saying that, of Green Day. Really like Green Day, by the way. Good job, guys. Typical thing to say for a 13-year-old. But they had their own Green Day Guitar Hero coming out. And he played it, and in an interview he said... Wow, it's really difficult. I can barely play it on medium.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's counted as a very good guitarist, and he just cannot play Guitar Hero. So I imagine, same with, I think drummers do not suffer the same thing, because it's like, what's the difference, you know? If people who play electro drums, for example, which are little sensors, and when you hit them, So you can have certain, instead of just making standard drum noises, you can have it so it goes like voice on the piano or like a car crash or something.
Yeah,
so each time you hit a cymbal it, or a different drum, it makes a different noise.
Right.
So for them, I'm fairly sure it's okay. But oh, and singers as well. Singers are fine, but really guitarists and bassists will have a different have a bit of difficulty with it.
Yeah. Anyway, back to we'll leave the show there because we're kind of running quite long on this. But it was a great conversation, and thank you very much, Thaig, for joining me on this show as always.
Thank you for having me.
And
I think, Michael, do you still have the information up on the little subheaders of preferred methods of contact? No, not that I actually think anybody is ever going to contact me.
Yeah,
20 years in the future, one man has sent me an email. I will have thought that my time has been well spent.
Right, you can contact Thaig at thaigatpictureinword.com. It's up on his lower third there.
And remember, it's an unusual name, T-A-D-G-H.
Right.
So any Americans or English, my experiences have been of them calling me Taj. It is not Taj, it is Thaig.
Right, so Thaig, T-A-D-G-H at pictureinword.com. That's PicturingWord.com for all the audio listeners. And you can follow me and the Talks About Tech Network on Twitter at Talks About Tech. You can also add me to your circles on Google+. It's just Michael McAndrew. And, you can, by the way, we record live every Wednesday at 7:15. And today we actually recorded at 9:00 on a Thursday. And that's because I was away yesterday, so I couldn't attend it. But so we will tweet out, and I'll also post on my Google+ when we're going to be recording, recording live. So you can actually watch us live on talksabouttech.com and go to the live stream page and check out the website if you don't already know about it, talksabouttech.com. We've just gotten the podcast up on iTunes, Thaig, so...
Yay! All right, I can expect lots of money now. Good. I expect you to have at least 1 million views by the end of the day.
The podcast has gone up on iTunes, the video-only version, interestingly enough, because the audio version got rejected. So I'm going to find out what the problem is.
Really?
Yeah, it was a problem with the feed. It wasn't with the content, it was with the feed, because it's the same content. So I'm going to have a look at the feed, fix the problems, get it up there as soon as I can. And we might as well end the show there. So, thanks very much, everyone, who watched it live. And also, for the people who are watching the recorded version, thanks very much for watching or listening to this episode of Midweek Tech. And until next time, goodbye.